we're in a reasonable position compared to our Pacific relations in that we have learnt from some of the lessons of the past. So we basically have Te Ture Whenua Māori, the Māori Land Act, which within it has some fundamental objectives, which is one of being able to balance the collective interest and relationship that Māori have with land, but also to look at what the development opportunities might be. Now, over time, there have been instances whereby Māori land has been alienated, or particular legislative arrangements have enabled land to be alienated. But today, there's much more of a focus on having good, strong institutions or legal structures which enable Māori to be able to engage in those things that they believe are important.
One of the problems that they face in Papua New Guinea is not necessarily that there are no legal structures enabling people to use the land to unlock its economic potential. There are things called incorporated land groups. The main problem has been that it's very, very difficult to get a proper comprehensive land register of who the traditional owners are. Has that been a problem for Māoridom over the last 150 years, finding out who actually does own the land?
It was a problem initially. So if we go back to, I think it was the 1860s, was the first Native Land Act. Now, part of that particular process with the establishment of the Native Land Court, which has now become the Māori Land Court, is there was a process whereby Māori landowners, or those that had claims to particular land, there was a process established through court whereby, you know, a block would be surveyed and there was the opportunity for those interested parties to come to court and to basically lay out their particular claims or rights to a particular piece of land. The whole Native Land Court structure that was developed and determined by the then government has been, you know, the cause of a lot of grievance and pain over the years in terms of how the court ran those processes, how open it was, what opportunity people had in terms of notice to present claims and rights. But all of that aside, I think, you know, when I think about Papua New Guinea and our Pacific relations, you know, it does require some process to be developed whereby people are able to establish their rights to particular parcels or areas of land.
Is there any particular advice that you give to people in Papua New Guinea or other parts of the Pacific that are grappling with this problem based on the Māori experience of the last 150 years?
I think from my perspective, having come through others imposing a particular model on us, it would be really one of the leadership of the Pacific and each of our Pacific nations to consider how might they develop a process that is in line or in keeping with their particular worldviews. I know that that's often difficult to get some consistent approach, whether it be in Papua New Guinea or other places. But I think if anything, it would be to think about how you design a process to, you know, establish who has rights and interests. You know, quite apart from designing how you get to a place where you have a register, it's always important also to think about, you know, as our populations grow, it's about how do you get sustainable development on land, which is just more than the economic, but also thinking about your social and cultural elements, which, you know, these are some of the models that we've been developing more recently, looking at development in a more holistic way and actually considering, you know, not only the trade-offs, but what are the benefits of particular land uses from a social and cultural standpoint, and not always looking at what's going to give you the highest economic return. That's part of it, but I think, you know, fundamentally moving forward in the design of any new land tenure structure and arrangement, it's really thinking about what are the communities seeking to achieve through this, and, you know, in terms of the not only the economic benefits, but how any arrangement might lead to better social cohesion, which, you know, despite the 60, 70 years, you know, that we've been working within the sort of Māori land tenure system in New Zealand, there is still that tension between who ultimately has decision-making. But more importantly today, which is one of the key considerations for us and the work I do as Māori trustee, you know, administering over 100,000 hectares of land and close to 2,000 Māori land trusts, is actually thinking about how do we engage with people to ensure that they're able to participate in decision-making in the future.